You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hello, my name is Pierre Bétanger. I am the export manager for North and South America for the Champagne Duval Le Roi in Vertu. You can learn more about our house on our website, www.duval-leroy.com.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio.
Joining us this week on iWine Radio is Pierre Bétanger, who's the export manager for Champagne Duval Le Roi. Duval, D-U-V-A-L, and Leroy is L-E-R-O-Y. And we are going to talk about the history of this winery, where the vineyards are located, and two wines in particular that are available throughout the world, but definitely on the shelves in the United States, and that is the Duval Le Roi Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage and the Duval Le Roi Rosé Prestige Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage. Pierre, thank you so very much for joining us today, and I would imagine that it is naturally people drink champagne in during the holiday season. Are you noticing that people in Champagne are celebrating life even more so this November and upcoming December with all the events that are going on?
Well, of course, people in Champagne always celebrate with champagne more than anywhere else in the world. Of course, Paris is a big market too, but it's true that a lot of the champagne we produce is consumed in Champagne. And it's true that it is an important moment to celebrate life here, and it was a difficult time. But the message that everybody is trying to express is that we need to keep going, we need to keep celebrating life, and we need to, each of us, on our own or with friends or family, we need to do the opposite of what these people would like us to do.
Yeah,
and champagne is a good way to celebrate. Although we, of course, noticed the business slowing down in France in general, and in Paris, of course. And even if people try to show that they keep celebrating life, they don't really have the mood for drinking champagne.
Oh my gosh! Well, we're going to have to make up for that in the United States, and drink
absolutely
yes, and drink the champagne Duval Le Roi that people are not going to have in Paris that they're going to have to consume in the United States. Let's start by talking about the winery's history, please, which is very interesting and a long history.
So the history of Duval Le Roi, of the winery, started in 1859. It's actually the two families that joined together. Mr. Duval was a producer, a grower. Mr. Le Roi was a négociant, so a broker. And they joined forces to create the house Duval Le Roi, the champagne house. And so that was in 1859. At the next generation, one of the children on one side got married to one of the children on the other side, so it became only one family.
Wow. Okay.
That's how the name of the company became also the name of the family, because the two families got reunited as the two business partners got reunited to create the winery in 1859. After that, the family had always only one heir, only one son. And so up to Jean Duval Le Roi, he was the only son of the family. He married Carole Duval Le Roi, who is now our owner and CEO, because unfortunately Jean Duval Le Roi passed away in 1991. He was 39.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Carole was 36. They had three kids who were 2, 4, and 6 years old. Julien is the oldest, Charles is the second, and Louis is the third son. And all three of them work with us now at the winery. So Carole Duval Le Roi took over when she was 36 when her husband died. And you can imagine the pressure on a 36-year-old woman.
Yes.
Taking over one of the biggest winery in Champagne, and one of the most beautiful vineyards. We'll come back on that later. But before talking about Du Val-le-Roi and the current history, the modern days for Du Val-le-Roi, if I may say, there are other important dates for Champagne in general and for Du Val-le-Roi. And 1911 is one of them. 1911 is when the classification was made in Champagne of the Premier Cru, Grand Cru, after the rebellion from the growers from the south of Champagne. So they created a classification to fix the price of the Champagne, and that's when the appellation was properly designed. And out of the around 350 villages of Champagne, only 44 of them are Premier Cru, are classified as Premier Cru, and 17 of them are Grand Cru. It's important for Du Val-le-Roi because they ended up having a lot of Premier Cru and Grand Cru. They have a beautiful Premier Cru and Grand Cru vineyards. More than 40% of the vineyard of Du Val-le-Roi is classified as Premier Cru and Grand Cru.
Wow.
And they were the first to create a Premier Cru Champagne.
Oh, so really?
Actually, yeah. The Premier Cru that we are going to talk about tonight and that you tasted was actually the first Premier Cru ever in Champagne, because Du Val-le-Roi had such a big and beautiful vineyard classified as Premier Cru. They decided to make Champagne with only Premier Cru and Grand Cru and to name it Premier Cru.
That is a great story. Nobody can take that away from the family.
Absolutely.
As I recall, maybe 10, 15 years ago, Carol was the winemaker, but is she stepped down, and are her sons now involved with the cellar, not just from a business side, but a production side?
So Carol was never the winemaker.
Okay.
The winemaker is also a woman. Her name is Sandrine Logette.
Okay.
She joined the company pretty much at the same time. I don't know if it's 91 or 92, but pretty much at the same time when Carol started, when Carol took over. But she was working in quality control and in the lab. She was working with the previous head winemaker, whose name was Hervé Gestin. When Hervé left, Sandrine Logette took over the winemaking. I think it was in 2005. So for 10 years, for the past 10 years, we've had a woman CEO and owner and a woman head winemaker.
Wow.
And I think she's the only female head winemaker in a major Champagne house. Of course, some growers have women making the wine and running the winery, but I think among the brands, among the Champagne houses, she, I think, is the only woman head winemaker. So Carol was technically involved in the winemaking, but she's very involved in the style of Du Val-le-Roi. She decides with her sons, with Sandrine Logette, and with the director of the vineyard, they all decide and guarantee the style of Du Val-le-Roi. So she leads the ship, but she's not technically making the wine herself.
Okay.
And now she's still very much involved in running the operation, but also her three sons are now working with us at the winery. Julien, the oldest, is secrétaire général. So general secretary, I don't know if it sounds the same in English. He does all the HR and a lot of relationship with the growers we buy food from. Charles does all the marketing and communication. And Louis is the ambassador of the brand, mostly on the French market. He does a lot of PR and events.
Pierre, how many hectares does the family own Du Val-le-Roi, and are all the grapes owned that are, you know, that go into making the wine? Do they they own all the grapes, or they have to purchase some of the grapes?
So Du Val-le-Roi, the vineyard of Du Val-le-Roi is 200 hectares. That is one of the 10 largest vineyards in Champagne. But it's the largest to still be 100% family-owned. So some wineries in Champagne have larger vineyards, bigger vineyards, but they are not 100% family-owned and family-operated.
Okay.
So we're the largest family-owned winery in Champagne.
Okay.
But these 200 hectares are sufficient for a little less than half of what we need. So they still have to buy some fruit. So I would say that a little more than half of what we use is fruit that we buy, and the rest is estate fruit.
So where are the vineyards located in the different sub-appellations in Champagne?
So the winery is in Vertu. Vertu is a premier cru village in the Côte des Blancs. So it's south of Épernay, for those who know the geography of Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only major house in the heart of the Côte des Blancs. And the vineyard is all over Champagne. The vineyard of Du Val-de-Roi is really all over Champagne, but mostly around Vertu, mostly in the Côte des Blancs.
Okay.
We have mostly Chardonnay in the vineyard, and most of it in the Côte des Blancs. But they have vineyard everywhere in Champagne, and they also buy fruit from everywhere in the Champagne appellation. We have 5 pressing centers.
Okay.
Because we don't want, when we harvest, we don't want the fruit to travel.
Yes,
so we
okay.
have 5 pressing centers all over Champagne. Of course, the biggest one is in Vertu at the winery. And then we buy from around 30 other pressing centers all over Champagne.
So that, I mean, I could see obvious how that would definitely be a full-time job to be working with all the growers.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But the relationship with the growers is always on a long-term basis.
Yes, yes.
Since Du Val-de-Roi has been in the middle of the Côte des Blancs in Vertu for so long, for 6th generation now, most of the growers already had a relationship with Du Val-de-Roi in their family in the past. So the grandfather or the great-grandfather was already selling grape to the Du Val-de-Roi great-grandfather. So all the relationship the Du Val-de-Roi family has with the growers are very strong. We always source from the same people. The average contract, I think, is around 15 years of contract relationship with the growers. And, of course, we oversee what they do and we help them because all our vineyard is certified sustainable. And and all the fruit we buy from has to come from sustainably farmed vineyards. So we help them farm the vineyard and we control the fruit that they sell to us. And also they sell to us or bottle their own champagne.
Is there any special production techniques at Champagne du Val-de-Roi that you would like to share? Or is it just nothing strays from the classic method? You know, historically, there are benchmarks within the winery. The very first to be bottling a wine that is labeled Premier Cru. Was there anything unique or forward-thinking that they did in production?
So, you know, every winery in Champagne has their own secrets and recipes.
Yes, yeah.
But what I can tell you is that, yes, we have some specificities in our winemaking process that give the specificities in the wine. The style of Du Val-de-Roi, and you will you taste it through the two wines that you tasted, but you can taste through the range and find the same specificity, the same identity, which is usually small bubbles and lower sugar. And these come from the beautiful vineyard that we have, but also the winemaking techniques. First, we age the wine quite longer than most of the other champagne houses. As you know, the minimum aging for a non-vintage champagne for the second fermentation in the bottle when the double happened, the minimum aging for that second after that second fermentation is 15 months for a non-vintage champagne and 3 years for a vintage champagne. What we do at Du Val-de-Roi is we age our non-vintage 3 years, and the vintage champagnes that we have are aged, most of them 6 to 7, sometimes 8 years or sometimes more. And the Femme de Champagne, which is our tête de cuvée, is always aged more than 10 years. So the Femme de Champagne, our tête de cuvée right now, we're on the vintage 2000. So it was aged more than 12 years. This, of course, has an impact on the complexity of the wine and also the elegance and the finesse of the bubble. But to have these tiny bubbles, we also do everything we can to keep a thicker wine, a more viscous wine. So, for example, we don't fine the wine.
Oh, okay.
And that gives us a thicker wine. And the viscosity being higher, the wine is more dense, so the bubble has less space, the gas has less space to open up. So this is why we have tiny bubbles. And also something else that can influence that does influence the size of the bubble is the grape itself. Chardonnay having a more viscous juice, giving a more viscous juice, is also going to have a smaller bubble. That's why Chardonnay sometimes is regarded as a more elegant, refined grape varietal, when Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier are really beautiful as well. But because of these tiny bubble characteristic of the Chardonnay, when you know how to do it, it's regarded as a more refined grape. We have, as I said, mostly Chardonnay in the vineyard, and most of our champagnes are Chardonnay based. We're really seen as a Chardonnay house, and that also contributes to the style we have of tiny bubbles and lower sugar. And when I say lower sugar, it's at the dosage, at the end of the process for making champagne. You know, we do the disgorging to get rid of the deposit in the bottle after the aging, and we put some reserve wine along with a liquor, and this liquor, the level of sugar in this liquor is what decides if your champagne is brut or extra brut or demi-sec or sec, etc. Most of the big champagne houses, or the champagnes you see on the shelves, are brut non-vintage. And the two that you tasted tonight are brut non-vintage. We put only 8 grams of sugar per liter in these two. So it's quite low dosage. And our vintage wines are always even lower in sugar. For example, the Femme de Champagne that I mentioned, our Tête de Cuvée, the dosage is 5 to 6 grams.
Okay.
And our current vintage, which is 2006 Blanc de Blanc Grand Cru, which is also available in the U.S., the dosage is 3 grams. So
wow.
We really do everything we can in the winemaking process to have this style of tiny bubbles and lower sugar in the wine. First, because we think that it makes more drinkable wine, more elegant. Also because it shows the quality of the vineyard better. We want to show the quality of our wine, the quality of our vineyard, of our terroir. And also because, and that's also important for us, it makes it easier to pair with food. We have champagnes that go really well with a lot of different food, and we want people to enjoy our champagne not only on their own, of course on their own, but also with a lot of different food. And if you have big bursting bubbles and a lot of sugar,
yeah,
it's really hard to pair with anything.
Yeah.
With our style of tinier bubbles and low sugar, then it's easier to pair with food.
So the Champagne Duval Leroy Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage is 70%, roughly 70% Chardonnay and 30% Pinot Noir.
And, absolutely.
The smell of brioche is absolutely intoxicating. The Rosé Prestige Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage is 90% Pinot Noir and 10% Chardonnay. And the two of them side by side are remarkably different.
Yes, and you said it, the blend is very different, quite the opposite, actually. They both reflect really the identity and the style of Duval Leroy. The Premier Cru is really our flagship, or one of our flagship, at least. As I said, Duval Leroy was the first winery to create a Premier Cru champagne. And this having 70% Chardonnay and 30% Pinot Noir, so dominant Chardonnay, and also only Premier Cru and Grand Cru. There is in the wine around 80% of Premier Cru grapes and 20% of Grand Cru grapes.
Oh,
so
wow.
This really reflects it's really the style, the identity, the signature style of Duval Leroy. It's very fresh. You have the brioche, as you said, because we do also full malolactic fermentation on all the wines. And that sometimes gives, with the aging of the Chardonnay from the Côte des Blancs, it can give this brioche that you noticed.
Okay.
But it's very fresh, very bright, very elegant. And it does have this style that we talked about earlier of tiny bowls. And the dosage, as I said, is 8 grams. It was aged for 3 years. The rosé now is very unique, first because it's also a premier cru. So it's also only premier cru and grand cru vignette. It's 90% Pinot Noir and 10% Chardonnay, more or less, as you said. But the one of the specificities of this wine is that it's a rosé de Seigné.
Yes.
So we're one of the last wineries to make skin contact rosé. Most of the rosé champagnes you find on the shelves, everyone, well, today, almost all of them actually are a blend of champagne and red wine.
Oh, gosh.
And it's not anything bad. It's actually, it can be really good. And some of the most beautiful champagnes and the most highly rated champagnes are blends. I won't, you know, say any names, but the most famous champagnes, rosé champagnes in the U.S. or anywhere in the world are blends. Most of them are. We choose to still make the traditional skin contact method, so the maceration method. So the Pinot Noir after harvesting is sorted, and then we put the Pinot Noir in tanks and leave it in contact with the skin for only 12 to 18 hours just to get a touch of color and a touch of rosé flavors, but it's not dominant. We still want, for the same reason I mentioned earlier, to make elegant wine that pairs with food. We don't want overwhelming fruit. We mm-hmm. don't want the fruit to take over. We still want this rosé to be a champagne first, and the rosé side to just come as additional notes. So it's quite unique because of this. It's not written rosé de Seigné on the label because we add 10% Chardonnay in it. So technically it's not 100% Seigné because we put 10% of white wine, of white Chardonnay is white, of course.
Yes.
And we choose to keep the recipe, even if we're not able to write Rosé de Seigné on the label.
I really respect the fact that the families decided to stick to tradition like that with the Rosé de Seigné.
It's really a choice. It's a little harder and more
yes.
expensive and
yes.
longer to make, but
yeah.
we feel like it's our identity. So we feel the winemaker and the family, they think that it's the right way to express what we want to express in the bottle.
The winemaker has to have more attention to avoiding oxidation with that skin contact. Do they do that in-house, in Vertu? At what
yes,
are the
but there is, also, there is also Pinot Noir in Vertu.
Okay.
And most of the Pinot Noir used in the Rosé de Seigné, in the Rosé Prestige, sorry, come from Vertu and from the Montagne de Reims.
Okay.
So it's not too far, and it's actually done at the winery.
Okay.
The tank for the Seigné is at the winery in Vertu.
Okay.
And also, you know, we don't travel with the grape. We have pressing centers all over Champagne because we don't want, since we press the grape, we want the juice to be clear, and Pinot Noir and Meunier being black grapes, we don't want them to travel too much in the cases when we harvest, because otherwise the juice might take a little taint, a little color.
Yes.
But for the red wine, since we're going to make red wine anyway, not red wine, but Seigné, the juice is going to have this this color. We want that color. So it's not a big deal if it travels a little bit.
The pricing on these two champagnes that we're talking about from Champagne du Valois in the United States, the suggested national retail is $70 on the Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage and $80 on the Rosé Prestige Premier Cru Brut Non-Vintage. And they're mm-hmm. in national distribution. Pierre, are there any Magnums that come into the United States?
Magnums of Premier Cru, yes. Magnums of Rosé, not yet,
okay.
but we are working on it with our exclusive national importer, which is Talato Wine International. We started with Talato only this year, and we're very happy about this new start in the U.S. So right now we have the core range of our wines, but in the future, in the near future, we are probably going to have more different sizes, more big formats maybe, and also some other fun wines like single vineyard cuvées.
Oh, wow. Last question here. Will you please share with people how they can learn more online, both with your importer in the United States, but with at the winery's website, so people listening outside the United States know where to go?
Well, the website of the winery is easy. It's duvalleroy.com. So it's D-U-V-A-L, it's not slash, I don't know how to
hyphen,
say that.
Hyphen.
Okay, and then Leroy, L-E-R-O-Y.com. And then they can also go on the website of Terlato, T-E-R-L-A-T-O, which has all the information on our wines.
And
of course, if they, you know, people are always welcome to come visit the winery.
That's what I was going to ask.
The doors are open.
Okay, cool. Yep, that was my last question. Okay. Pierre Bétinger, Export Manager for Champagne Duval-Leroy, speaking to us from Paris. We thank you so very much for your time.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
We will drink this up and raise a glass to France.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's the right way to celebrate with us and prove them wrong and keep celebrating life with champagne. Thank you.
You're listening to iWine Radio, first in wine talk. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.